Britain gets a new prime minister today, so can she fix all that uncertainty over there? From Marketplace in New York, I'm Lizzie O'Leary, in for David Brancaccio. Theresa May is becoming Britain's second female prime minister today, just 3 weeks after UK voters chose to leave the European Union. The BBC's Jonty Bloom joins me to tell us a little bit more about her. Welcome.
It's a pleasure, Lizzie.
So May's appointment, this seems like it's going to calm markets down, but she still has to deliver the Brexit, which she said means Brexit. But really, what does that mean? Do we even know?
No, we don't really know what Brexit means. And that's going to be very important for the economic future of the country because it means lots of different things to different people. Some would like us to remain in the single market. That's the ability to move your goods and services and people and capital anywhere across the EU. And we could leave and stay in the single market. There are countries that are not in the EU that do that, principally Norway. The problem with that is all the ones that have done that let EU nationals live in their country. And the other side of the equation for the UK is a large part of the vote against the EU and for Brexit was the wish to control our own borders. And somehow the Prime Minister has got to get those two things in balance and find a solution.
Let's talk about May's stance on business. She gave a speech where she called for curbs on executive pay, clamping down on big business and their sort of tax write-offs. A lot of that sounds like it is to the left of the Conservative Party, of which she's a member.
Yes, it does. In fact, it seems quite surprising to many people. But if you look at the results of the referendum, it's perhaps easier to explain. The referendum wasn't necessarily lost on whether we wanted to be members of the EU or not. What it was lost on was a large group of people who feel that the current economy does not work to their benefits, that they had nothing to lose. And she's basically saying she's not anti-business, she's anti the business people at the top making vastly more money out of the system than is fair or equitable compared to people at the bottom.
Jonty Bloom at the BBC, thank you so much.
Oh, it's always a pleasure.
Let's get a quick check of the numbers. The FT 100 is in London is up about 0.2%. The DAX in Germany also up 0.2%. The Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are all up. Immigration was one of the big issues that drove British voters to want to leave the EU. Remember, workers there can move freely from country to country, and no place in the EU has embraced migration more than Germany, which has an aging labor force. Germany also took in 1 million refugees last year. I went to one area in Germany last week to see how they're being brought into the workforce. On the assembly line at a Mercedes truck plant in Wörth, Germany, Catherine Schnurr, who works for Mercedes, shows me an engine dangling on a giant metal chain.
He's repairing the frame right now, and then what they're going to be putting in the engine.
Oh, wait, is that... So that's an engine being lifted up, and then it will get dropped into the frame?
Yes.
The man we're watching is named Wasim. He's 40, a Syrian refugee who fled Damascus 2 years ago. We're not using his last name to protect his family.
I live wunderbar here.
Everything is fantastic here. I'm extremely satisfied with my time here, except today I'm very unhappy because tomorrow is the last day of the program.
That's the voice of our translator, Kate Hersein. The program runs for 14 weeks. Wasim and 300 other refugees are working at Mercedes plants across Germany. They're from Syria, Iraq, Eritrea, Somalia. The training isn't really about learning to make a Mercedes. There's no guarantee of a job afterwards. Though the refugees can apply for formal apprenticeships once they meet Germany's work standards. It's more to get a taste of being in the workforce here. The refugees make minimum wage for 3.5 hours a day and learn German for another 3.5. And they've been sent to the plants by the German government job centers. The program is funded both by Daimler, Mercedes' parent company, and by the German government.
Hi. Lizzie.
Yes.
And Aisha, welcome.
Aisha Osbabashan runs the integration office in nearby Stuttgart, and it's her job to help outsiders settle here and find work.
That means language courses, provide language courses, sports, cultural activities, and of course, the access to a labor market, which is a very hotly debated issue.
45% of people in Stuttgart were either born abroad or are the children of immigrants. Traditionally, they've come to Stuttgart to work at the big companies here, like Mercedes, Porsche, and Bosch. Recently, Germany's right-wing and Eurosceptic party, the AfD, campaigned on opposing immigration. But since the Brexit vote, support for the AfD has dropped. Some 9,000 refugees have settled in Stuttgart over the past year. And Aisha Esbabashan, who is a Kurd originally from Turkey, says one of the small pleasures of her job is using her own life story to show them a path to succeed here.
They are just saying, we are so proud that someone of us is working for the city administration. And I wish it also for my children that they get the same chance as you did, as your family did, to start a new life here and to be an important part of the society.
She says she has multiple identities, Kurdish, Turkish, German, and a very important one, European. And here in the U.S., the Republican Party is hard at work on its platform in Cleveland ahead of the GOP convention next week. The influence of the party's presumptive nominee, Donald Trump, is clear in this new platform, particularly when it comes to international trade. Marketplace's Lewis Wallace has more.
It's something of a U-turn for Republicans who have historically been pro-free trade deals. In 2012, the party supported the Trans-Pacific Partnership, which Trump has vocally opposed. And this draft platform just doesn't mention it either way. Instead, the party has adopted a, quote, America First policy that doesn't quite condemn free trade, but expresses caution about trade deficits, and it echoes Trump's tough on China language. But how that would all play out is still pretty vague. Like the Democratic platform this year, the Republican one doesn't clarify whether it could end up supporting a free trade deal if it was sufficiently protective of U.S. interests.
Lewis, thanks. In New York, I'm Lizzie O'Leary with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.